Cheese start here. Joining us now, you know that music. You hear him. Bucks shots, Bucks talk, Bucks pregame, Bucks halftime, Bucks postgame, Bucks in 30. Bucks at 6.
Just wait, why do we call Benny Bruss Benny Bucks? It's Justin Bucks, baby.
And it's not alliterative. I think that's the problem.
Okay.
And you hear him make pronouncements like the Bulls are fraudulent and they're a cute story and all.
Are we looking at a gentleman's sweep, a straight-up sweep? What are we thinking here?
It's sweet. I mean, the Bulls have been fraudulent from most of the season. Cute story and all, but they've been fraud. And they have nobody that can slow down Giannis.
He ain't wrong. But I'm going to be right. It's going to be a gentleman's sweep.
Joining us now for Jesse to apologize to after his treatment on Thursday, it is our Bucks buddy. It's Justin Garcia. Justin, hi. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Good morning, guys.
You sound great. Your voice, it sounds like that day of rest that you got by not doing the show really had an impact.
It was that half day of rest, just taking the morning off and then doing the game that night that really paved the way to sounding the way I did.
Well, you sound great. The dulcet tones are back. And would you like to say anything to Jesse, who literally, which is a word that's often used incorrectly, literally came back from every single segment commercial break for your entire three-hour visit with us on Thursday with that sound bite of you saying that the Bulls were fraudulent and it was a cute story and all. Turns out they're fraudulent and it was a cute story and all.
No, I'm good. I'm very strong in my convictions, and even in the face of 1-1 in the series, he kept thinking, how did this happen? Like, if you took game one seriously and game two seriously, we're in a different spot. Maybe Chris Middleton isn't hurt. It's a big what if. But I felt all along, yes, the scoreboard is going to reflect one win for the Bulls, but I'm still right here. So no apology necessary from Jesse, and I get to hear my voice several times with him playing it coming back, so I'm fine with that.
Just to be clear, you say no apology necessary. You realize none was forthcoming.
Well, yes, I mean, there's that too.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so Justin, what has been, I mean, is it just the fact that after that loss, the urgency picked up? Is it as simple as, you know, we joked a lot about the Bucks or the Bulls haven't beaten the Bucks except for that one time and blah, blah, blah. Is it as simple as the Bucks saw it and was like, all right, we need to pick our blank up or we're going to end up being in trouble here? Is that what really has just happened over the weekend?
I think that's a big part of it. And Giannis talked about it a little bit after the game yesterday and that, yeah, we have had a much greater sense of urgency. But, you know, that being said, it shouldn't come to this. That we have to lose to kind of be woken up to play like this. So that's something we definitely need to improve on. But I think that's what you would point to as a majority of the reason for it. You know, you go back to game two when the Bulls won. The Bucks played sloppy, and they played borderline terrible in the first two games of this series. But they just, it kind of looks like did not take the Bulls seriously, and 40 turnovers, nearly 40 turnovers through those two games. The Bulls were capitalizing and scoring points off of those turnovers at a high rate. And offensively, Chicago played their style of game in game two, where the three-point volume wasn't all that high. I think they took 25 or 26 threes in that game, and DeMar DeRozan got to the mid-range. They took 50 mid-range shots in that game. And, you know, the Bucks still should win that type of game because of the talent discrepancy. But when you turn the ball over and have some of the issues that plagued the Bucks in that game, that opened up the door for the Bulls. So I think, number one, they kind of woke up and played with a greater sense of urgency. But, you know, the other thing, and it's not to suggest that the Bucks are better off without Chris Middleton, because that's certainly not the case, this forced the Bucks to just go ultra big and say, Chicago has very few guys on their roster that you would call playoff caliber rotational players. But we can go ultra big and basically blow them off the floor and say, we just have the matchup here that you can't counter. And you look at the game over the weekend, game yesterday, DeMar DeRozan has to defend Bobby Portis because the front line is Brooke Giannis and Bobby Portis. And Chicago is more equipped to play small with Nikola Vucevic as a stretch five and then DeMar DeRozan as your four. It's great offensively if you hit shots, but defensively it's a disaster. And that's what we saw, where the Bucks just kept beating Bobby Portis. He was on fire early on, and it kind of gave Billy Donovan the complex of, well, do I double-team Bobby Portis? And if I do that, what does it do for Jrue Holiday and Giannis? So they just had to live with it. Bobby got going, and then that just starts to open up everything else. And before you know it, it's a 30-point game once again. So this, to me, the weekend is basically how we expected these games to go all along. It just took the Bucks two games to get there.
Yeah, and obviously Grayson Allen with a monster weekend, both game three and four. I love the fact, and you could tell, a lot by how teammates react on the bench when things are going, and the booing and the fun that they're having, and Grayson Allen enjoying that villainous role that he's got, and even his own teammates giving him, the boos as he's hitting shots. It just seems like the entire operation is fun, and they're kind of figuring out what they're doing there with Grayson Allen.
He's been great, and the comparisons are going to be out there to say, hey, remember what Brent Forbes did in the first round last year, where we all pointed out Brent Forbes outscored Jimmy Butler in this series, and he came in and was basically a flamethrower catching fire. Grayson Allen is more equipped to do that for an extended period, that he has more to his game than just shooting. We've seen him put the ball on the floor and go to the basket. He is much more athletic than he gets credit for. And even defensively, he had three early steals yesterday where he's not a zero or a negative defensive player, and that's going to only open up more playing time for him. So for him to score 49 points over the course of those two games, that is more points than any individual Bulls player scored in those two. So he outscored DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine in the two games in Chicago, and I'm not suggesting he's going to be scoring 25 points a game going forward. But I do think he's definitely much more adept for the postseason than Bryn Forbes was. And it's just a nice option to have where he's a guy that you trust. I mean, Bucks shot 32% on threes in the playoffs last year, which was brutal. Pat Connaughton was their best postseason shooter in the mid-30s, and it wasn't a high volume of threes. So if Grayson Allen can do this, and I'm not saying he has to hit five threes a game, he's the first player in Buck franchise history, by the way, to have five or more threes in two straight playoff games. But if he can knock down a couple a game, that's a dimension the Bucks really did not have last year through the playoff run.
Are you telling me that Grayson Allen did something that Ray Allen did not?
I was going to say, maybe he is the better Ray Allen, the great
sound graph. Audiograph coming. Watch yourself, Justin.
Tausch loves to try and put other people's hot takes on the Twitter. Justin Garcia joining us from the Bucks Radio Network, our Bucks buddy. Justin, what did you make of the Zach LaVine, Bobby Portis brief scrum there? And what, as you look big picture of what Bobby Portis gives you, playing with the goggles and getting his eye scraped and missing him when you lost him in that game where he suffered the eye injury, how do you view what he is giving them in this series and what he could give them in subsequent series?
He's so first of all, the Zach LaVine dust up was basically nothing, and I took it to be frustration from Zach LaVine that your team is down big and you've just been blown off the court two games in a row when you enter the weekend thinking, hey, maybe we have a chance here. So I think it was mostly frustration. And they both said after the game, too, it was nothing. I mean, Bobby himself said Zach LaVine is one of his closest friends in the league. So I think it was, just the frustrations of Zach LaVine blowing over. But with Bobby and Bud actually spoke about this too, I think before game three, just having him back in the lineup and back on the floor is huge because of the energy that he brings. It just seems to lift everyone else up, especially at home games where we see how much the crowd loves him and how Bobby Portis feeds off of that. But he brings that energy, and, you know, we also have to point out, he was, I'm not going to say unplayable at times last year, but he was out of the rotation in some big moments.
Yeah.
Because of the defensive end of the floor, but he's continued. He talked about this last year, that he prides himself in the work he puts in on defense. And, you know, he made the comment at the end of the finals, you can't say I don't play defense anymore. He's gotten even better this year, where at least in a switching defense, he can hedge at the point of attack and hang out there on the perimeter a little more than, you know, certainly what you saw from him early in his career. So I do think it's worth pointing out the improvement in the strides he's made defensively this year, and that's basically making sure that he's a guy that can play all throughout the postseason. Now, some of the matchups going forward may be more difficult for him, but I don't think you're going to get to a point anymore where Bobby Portis is just left off the floor entirely for two or three games in a series.
Justin, last thing for me, so you can rest your voice so we can use you more on our program and you can fill all your duties on the Bucks Radio Network. Obviously, I was joking earlier when I said, well, maybe you might want to do a load management game for the Bucks so you can extend this series and push the start of the second round series out. Is there any chance the Nets will help and give you a few more days to keep waiting for Chris Middleton to get a little bit healthier, that series might go longer? I don't foresee that, and I don't think the Bucks should intentionally lose Game 5 to make their series go longer.
Okay, I got to be careful here, because that's pretty adamant that the Bucks were going to blow the Bulls off the floor and sweep them before this series started, and we saw it happen in the first two games.
I've heard
that. I was also pretty adamant that the Nets are not good, and I thought the Celtics were going to sweep them. Mm. So, no, I do not think there is anything they can do. And I think Brooklyn has already started to shut it down here. I mean, the Ben Simmons thing is the least surprising news of the weekend. And I think they announced Monday just to kind of save themselves of, hey, we'll play him if X, Y, and Z happens. And then what do you know, they lose. So you can say, oh, well, he had another setback, so he's not going to play. Steve Nash has been thoroughly outclassed, and has had a terrible, if we're being honest, coaching track record here these 2 years. He's been brutal for the Nets, and that's a big reason why they are now 48 minutes away from losing in the first round, a year after they lost Game 7 at home to the Bucks last year. So I just don't see it, and there's no help around Kevin Durant. This is the worst possible matchup for the Nets with the way that Boston has all of these bodies they can throw at him and switch on him. I think it's going to be ugly, and Boston's going to take care of business rather convincingly tonight. So that would lead you to think, if that series wraps up Monday, Bucks are probably taking care of the Bulls here on Wednesday. I think their series is going to start on Saturday, depending on what happens in that Atlanta series, because Saturday was reserved for Game 7 of the Hawks and the Heat. I think they're going to get started on Saturday. If not Saturday, it's going to be Sunday. They'll start this weekend. And it's kind of what happened last year, where the Nets and Bucks started while first-round series were still going on, because the Bucks swept and the Nets won at 5. They made up for it at the midpoint of that series, where I think they had 2 days off between games 2 and 3 and 3 and 4. So I think that's kind of going to be the same thing here, and that may help the chances of Chris Middleton appearing at the midpoint of the series. But, you know, we also have to say, it's 2 weeks that he'll be reevaluated. That does not mean he's going to play in 2 weeks. And the Bucks have been pretty coy about what's going on with that. So I wouldn't enter saying, hey, Chris is going to be back in 2 weeks exactly. I don't think you can have that mindset. But if it is, that would set you up for around the 4th or 5th of May, which would be the two-week period. That's likely to be maybe 2 games in. Maybe it's 3 games in at that point. So either way, I think you got to approach this series with the mindset of what we did here in these last 2 games. That's what we're going to have to try to do. It's going to be difficult to do against the Celtics because of their offensive matchups, but we're just going to have to play big, and you're going to have to go in thinking you're not going to have Chris Middleton in the series. And if you get him back at the midpoint or at some point in the series, great. But just the way the schedule and the timing is working out, I don't think you can plan on having him any time before game three at the earliest.
Justin, we appreciate the fact that even though you have these very soft opinions that aren't very, you know, strong or
it's like bizarre. It's like bizarro world this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Nash. I hope you're tuned in.
Worst coach ever.
Not thinking very highly.
Is what he's saying wrong?
No. That's why we love him, and that's why he's our Bucks buddy. Justin, thanks, man. We appreciate you. We really do, despite Jesse's attempts to undermine all your work last week.
All right. See you later, guys.
That is Justin Garcia from the Bucks Radio Network. We will get to Wo Nelly next. It's Wildy and Tausch.